But you're the music, and you're the words. God bless you, Des. Take your liberty in the Lord. Greet him tonight. Would you please?
Thank you. Well, praise the Lord. Tonight I want you to fasten your seat belts and fly with us. Because God is going to share some things tonight that you may not have thought about before. But I want to tell you these are very important issues and perhaps are more important than we even understand at this moment. But you see, there has to be a progress in our life. There has to be a going on. There has to be a growth in God, in our own hearts, a development. As the Christ becomes more evident in our life day by day. So we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1 just for a moment. I want you, first of all, to begin to understand that there are certain issues that are very vital to our progress in God. And one of them is reproduction. Without this, without reproduction, we are barren, we're lost, and the ultimate intention of God will never be realized. God only ever created one man, not two and not 100, one man. But if that man had not procreated, if he had not brought forth out of himself, the whole will and purpose of God in this world would have been aborted right at that moment. Because God only ever created one man. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth the grass, the herbs yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. God put a seed in everything. Yes. In everything. Because God did not intend that he would have to plant millions and millions of mango trees in the world and orange trees and so on and so on. No, sir. He only needed to plant one, that's all. Because, you see, God had put a seed in everything. In the animal kingdom, God has put the seed. In the bird kingdom, God has put the seed. In the kingdom under the water and the fish, God has put a seed. God has put a seed in everything, which means that everything has the ability to procreate. Everything. This is an essential part of the purposes of God on this earth. You and I would not even be here today if it were not for procreation, if we had not been birthed into this world. So this is a very important issue for us. So it says here that God has put the seed in itself. Everything has received the seed. Now, what is the seed? Because this is important. So we turn to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul is speaking here and he's talking about Abraham, or Abram, as he was then, who said to God one day, you know, God, you've not given me any seed. But you've given me all these things. I mean, you've told me that you're going to give me the land of Canaan, and you're going to, it's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey and so on. All of these things. Kings are going to come out of me. Nations are going to come out of me. But you haven't given me any seed. And my wife is barren. She's never been able to conceive at all. So, God said, Abram, look up. And it must have been night time because he said, count the stars. How many stars are there up there? Have you any idea? I mean, I have a DVD there which follows the telescope that was put up there some years ago now, several years ago, and it has just continued to go, and it's finding more and more galaxies, not just stars, but galaxies, millions and millions of stars. And God said, Abram, so shall your seed be as the stars of heaven. And God is speaking to you tonight and says to you, your seed, I'm talking about your seed, will be as the stars of heaven. Are you hearing this? Your seed. You say, what? You mean to say that we're going to have millions of kids? I don't think so. But he did say that your seed would be as the stars of heaven. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. And the Apostle Paul says that God was not speaking about seeds as of many, but only one seed. That's all. One seed. And that seed is Christ.
It is.
Christ is the seed of God. Is Christ dwelling in you today?
Yes.
Is Christ really in you today?
Yes.
Because if he is, you have a seed which is capable of reproduction. I bought myself a little seed bed. It's only about this big. It's a plastic thing. It's got a top on it, and you've got these little holes, and you can put seeds in there, and you can watch it, and, you know. And I get a little fascinated with these things, so I got some seeds of a plant that my wife really wanted, and I put them in here, and I only lost, there was a couple of them that didn't come up, but the rest of them were all, they all grew. You see, a seed is an amazing thing. Because every seed knows exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're smart. We go to college. We go to a school. We go to college. We learn many, many things. And we're very smart. And we think we understand everything. But I want to tell you, that little seed is an amazing thing. How does that seed, when you plant a seed, how does it know what it is? I mean, one day God said, I want you to have a look at the lilies and see how they grow. So I did, you see, I planted the little crown thing that you plant for the lily, and see, this thing starts to grow. How does it grow? How did that thing know what it was? Why didn't it think it was a mango tree? Why didn't it consider it could have been an orange tree or anything? No, no, no. It knew it was a lily. You see, the seed knows exactly what it is, and that seed will only reproduce what it is. So if Christ is the seed, all it will ever produce is Christ,
yes.
Nothing else.
Right.
You understand this?
Yes.
So it's not a chance that maybe, you know, something else will grow. No, no, no. Christ in you is the seed of God. And if there's any reproduction to come from you, it will be through that seed, and it will only produce Christ. That's all. Nothing else. So now, because God only created one man, this is in Genesis 1, verse 26. He said, let us make man. There's the man. That is the only man God ever created. But God wanted to fill the earth. I mean, this earth, look how big it is. Well, there's about 1.3 billion people in China today. That's just in one country. I used to say that there were 6 billion people on the earth, but it's gone up. It's about 6.5 billion. Might even be up near 7 billion now. People living on this earth. So there, so many people have been produced on this earth. But of course, this is not exactly what God was talking about. James chapter 1 and verse 18, this is over in the New Testament now, and the Apostle James is talking here, and he says that God, of his own will, he begat us. What does it mean? God did not chase around heaven looking for a woman in order to procreate. God could create out of himself or procreate out of himself.
Yes, he could.
You see? He didn't need any help from anybody. And the man that God created in Genesis 1:26 was in the likeness and the image of God.
Yes.
Whatever God was, that's what the man is. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." It was not a separate entity from God himself. For he was Christ Jesus, and remember what he said, "I and my Father are one." We're not two separate identities at all. So we have to learn that. You see? So that's the seed was in that Christ. And so now, if that was the seed that was in Christ, then I want you to notice what James says. It says, "Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit." What is the first fruit? Well, in Israel's day, when they had planted their wheat, their barley, their corn, whatever, when they had planted the fields, before the harvest was complete, before there was mature crop there would be certain stalks that would be sticking up there with mature grain on those stalks. And God said, "I want you to pick just a little bunch of them and bring them into the temple, and I want you just to wave them before me, because I'm going to tell you, whatever these are, whatever these mature grains are, this is what the entire harvest is going to be."
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Come on, are you hearing this?
Yes.
Because this is so important. The only seed that God ever produced was Christ.
Amen.
And so he is the first fruit. What does that mean? It means that you are whatever he is.
Yes, sir.
That's right, amen.
And I don't mean that you were what he was back then. I mean today you are what he is. Because he is the first fruit. And the law of God concerning the first fruit is, whatever that first fruit was, that's what the entire harvest of this world will be.
Yes,
come on. I don't know how you can put hell into that one. I don't know where all these people can go that can't go to heaven because they didn't give their heart to Jesus. I don't understand all of that now. Why? Because the law of first fruit has already been put in operation.
Yes, sir.
The seed has already been given. The Christ has been released. And today, the entire harvest of this world will be according to the first fruit.
Yes, sir.
That's Christ.
Amen.
Oh, God, help us today. This is so important to us. So he says here that we might become a kind of first fruits of the God kind of people.
Yes, God kind.
Listen, we have all, you know, when we get married, we decide it's a good idea maybe to have at least one or two children anyway. Well, that's where we started out. We ended up with five. But you see, it was necessary for mankind to be able to procreate.
Yes.
But on the outside of the garden was a totally different position or a different situation to what it was inside the garden. Because it was inside the garden or within the framework of the spirit world that God was able to bring forth. He did not need a woman. In other words, today we have a reproduction system that's built into us, mainly into the woman, but that system requires two things, one of which is supplied by the female and one is supplied by the male.
Yes.
We have an egg and we have the sperm.
Yes.
And when those two come together, there can be a conception will take place. And so this is important now for us to understand, because on the outside of the garden, they could not reproduce as they did on the inside of the garden. But then Adam didn't even try to reproduce inside the garden. That was to wait for a while. But there was one reproduction there which helps us to understand. I had an email just today. Somebody said to me, "Where did the man, Adam, come from if the first man was Christ Jesus?" Well, I'm going to show you. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. This is where he came from. "And the Lord God formed." You notice that the word "formed" is there, not created.
Right.
Formed. So this is not a creation, this is a formation. Yes. And so it says here, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Well, why in the world did he give him a body? Because the first man did not have a body. That was Christ Jesus. He did not have a body. He was pure spirit. And he remained in the spirit world. He was the Messiah of the Old Testament. And as such, of course, he was not visible to Israel as he was later. But in order for him to become visible on this earth, the Christ had to be birthed on the earth. It wasn't sufficient that he should be created in the beginning, because that was spirit. But when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he had to be born on this earth. I believe that Christ could have stepped out of the spirit world straight onto this planet and done whatever he wanted to do in terms of his ministry, if he had wanted to. But God said, "No, sir. I want you to be birthed, because you are going to become an expression of the life of every person that's on this planet."
Amen.
And so this is why he was birthed on this earth. But in order for that to happen, of course, he needed a virgin. Let's go back here first of all. Genesis 2:7. "He formed a body for the man out of the dust of the earth." Now, I've told you this before, but you need to understand, everything on this planet, you cannot look at anything, whether you're looking at a rock in the ground, whether you're looking at the grass, the trees, the stars, the sun, the moon, it doesn't matter what you are looking at, it came out of God in creation.
Amen.
So that means that everything in this world, on this planet, including the planet itself, came out of God. You see? What does that mean? There is nothing in this universe which is not spirit. Hello? Everything is spirit. So I ask Christians, well, what about you? Oh, I'm flesh and blood. Oh, so you're flesh and blood. Well, if you're flesh and blood, then you are not part of God's world, because you cannot be flesh and blood and be part of God's world. You've got to be spirit, because only spirit can live in the spirit world. So this is very important for us. So why do we say that we are flesh and blood? Well, because if you cut your finger, you bleed. You say, "Well, see, I've got blood." In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "And the life of the flesh is in the blood."
Yes.
The life of the flesh is in the blood. So while your life is in your blood, you're going to suffer from every disease that there is in this world, if it happens to get a hold of you. But you see, it's the blood that circulates everything in your body. So if there's any kind of impurity that you eat, that you take in through your nose, in your breath, that you drink in your water, or that you contact on this earth. If there's anything there that is detrimental to your body and it gets a touch or gets a hold in your body, you will become sick and eventually you will die. So we have to understand that God is wanting to do something in us today that might help us not to get sick and not to die. So he said, "He that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me has," right now, "has everlasting life. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You see, it's very simple, isn't it? We're passed from death unto life. Therefore, our life no longer can be in our blood. While you have life in your blood, the reproduction system in which you will be involved is the egg and the sperm. But you see, you cannot produce a child of God with an egg and a sperm. Are you hearing this? You cannot produce a son of God with an egg and a sperm. Why? Because you have to use the seed which God supplied, which is Christ. Christ is the seed. And you cannot produce a son of God without the Christ being the seed in the process. So this is very important for us. So Adam here, this is Adam in the garden. The first man was Christ Jesus. This is Adam in the garden, the first earth man, because his body was from the dust of the earth. Therefore, we are related to the earth on which we walk. We are part of it because our body was made from the dust of this earth. That doesn't mean to say that you are not spirit, because you are spirit. That means that your body is not you. So 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 says, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of God? God dwells in you." God is prepared to dwell in a body of dust? I don't think so. He really needs to dwell in a body which is spirit. Well, now, how can you turn your dust into spirit? How are you going to do it? You're going to say, "God, well, just take all the dust out of here and fill me with spirit." No, 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 you can't do that. How are we going to change it? It's a consciousness. Come on. We're talking about a consciousness. I ask you today, what is your body? You tell me it's flesh and blood. I'm going to tell you, my body is spirit. That's my consciousness. John chapter 6, Jesus Christ said, "If you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." That is the life of God. You don't have the life of God in you if you do not eat my flesh, drink my blood. So we're running on mortal life apart from that. That's another life. That is eternal life. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. You see, yesterday I had some chicken. In the meal, I had some chicken. If you could open up my stomach today and have a look, would you think you'd find any chicken in there now? No. Why not? Because my body has absorbed the chicken into itself. The chicken has become what I am. Come on, you're hearing this. This is just a simple illustration, but I can't tell you any other way. I am telling you, if you don't eat the flesh of Jesus Christ, he said, you have no life in you. What does he mean? Does he mean that you're going to be a cannibal? And that's what the disciples thought. The Bible says that many disciples walked away from him after he said that. Said he's a crazy man. We're going to leave him. We're going to go find somebody else with a little more sense. But that's what he was talking about, you see. He said, I want you to eat my flesh. Why? Because if you eat what he is, you're going to become whatever that is. And he is spirit. He is spirit. And that means that you are spirit. It's a consciousness. You do not have to cut your fingers or cut your wrists and bleed out all your blood and then say, now I'm spirit. No, no, no. Don't you worry about the blood in there. You can still have the blood in there, but I want to tell you, my life is not in my blood. Right. It's in the Christ of my true identity. Amen. That's where my life is. That life is connected to heaven itself, and it's connected to the Father. Right. So it's the Father through the Son and into me, and it's the same life that God has. Yeah. And it's everlasting. Come on. Yeah. You see, we need to understand this. Because we've got an airy-fairy idea about it, you know. Give your heart to Jesus, now you become a Christian, you know, and now you'll be born again and you can go to heaven when you die. That's all just, well, whatever you want to call it. So now, this man, he forms the body, it's absolutely complete, but it has no life in it. Same as your body, same as my body. Has no life in itself. It has no life in itself until that Christ is put in there. And it's the Father that puts that Christ in here. Call no man on the earth your father. That's what Jesus Christ said. No man. Why not? Why can't I call my father? No. Why? Because if I do, then all those crazy genes that are going to come from my father and from his father and from all my relatives and everybody up at the top of that tree, including the monkeys, they're all going to send their genes down here. And I'm going to be a subject to all of them. And I want to tell you, I am not, because I do not call any man on the earth my father. Of course, my father, he already understands this anyway, because he's with the Father now, you see. So, because we don't call any man on this earth our Father, I can call God my Father. What's that mean? Whatever life my Father has, that's my life. That's your life. That's the life that's in you today. That's the life of the Father. And I'm telling you, that is eternal life. That is not the life that's in your blood. That's eternal life. So the Bible says now that the body was complete, but it had no life in it. So now, what did he do? Did the Lord God give him a blood transfusion? No. He simply breathed into the nostrils of that man the breath of life. Actually, it's in the plural, the breath of lives. Because life can be lived on many, many different levels. Some certain creatures might live only for a few hours, some might live for a month, some might live for 3 months, some might live for 12 months, and here we are, maybe 70 years, if you're fortunate, and then, well, if you know Christ, then you may go a bit further. So this is how it is. The Christ now has been put into this man. Therefore, Adam in the garden is Christ. Because that first man was Christ Jesus. All right. Now, go back to verse 28. Because this is what God said, and this is what he was just doing now, and I wanted to show you that first. It says, and God blessed him, and God said to him, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. That was the command God gave to the first man. I want to tell you, if he had not done what God said, the whole will and purpose of God for this earth would have been aborted right then. It could not have gone on. Why? Because he only created one man. He wants to fill the earth. So the Lord God did that. The Lord God is simply Jehovah Elohim. It's God with it's the man with God dwelling in him.
Yes.
That's what it is. That's the Lord God. God with the man. This is Emmanuel. That's who you are. You are a person, a body with God dwelling in you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So now it says, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. I have prayed, as I think I said last night, with many, many families and many parents about their children. The children that are unruly, children that they cannot control, and so on. What's gone wrong? We are not producing what God required. And as I said, I said to God several times, we've had 5 children, we've got 17 grandchildren, we've got 12 great-grandchildren, we've done our bit toward filling the earth. God said, no, you haven't. You haven't done anything yet. I'm not talking about filling the earth with those kind of children. They are mortal children. They are children born with an egg and a sperm. That's not what God's going to fill the earth with. God is going to fill the earth with the God kind of people.
Yes.
You hear this?
Amen.
And we have not done it. I want to tell you, you're all virgins here tonight. All of you, you're virgins from God's point of view.
Yes.
You may have children like we've had, but you are still virgins from the human, from the spiritual perspective. You have never brought forth what God has required. I want to tell you, chapter 1, verse 28 is God's assignment for every one of you.
Yes, sir.
Everyone. We are to birth the Christ.
Yes.
This is part of our experience in God. We are to birth the Christ. And I can only tell you that when I understood this to the measure in which I do, and I'm not standing here saying that, hey, I've got this whole thing 100%. But I know now that I have begun to birth this Christ in my life. And I have people in Africa and people in the other countries where I've been have said to me, Des, what have you done? Because there's something about you this year. I said, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
I've begun to see what probably so few people have seen on this earth, that God has a requirement for every one of us, and it is to reproduce.
Yes.
To be fruitful, to multiply, and fill the earth with the God kind of people.
Yes,
and as I say, on the outside of the garden, you've got Adam and you've got Eve. And they have a child, his name is Cain. They have another child, which was Abel. But then Cain rises up one day and murders his brother. Is that what God was talking about?
No,
no sir. He said with the God kind of people, not murderers, not kids that are going to grow up and be on drugs, not alcoholics, not people with crazy notions in their head about life and other things. He said, I want you to bring forth, through the seed of God, I want you to bring forth the God kind of people. Beloved, this is reality. We have not done it. We have not done it. And I call this the missing link, because I believe that this is one of the things that God is just beginning to reveal now. Why now? I don't know. But God knows what he's doing.
He does.
Otherwise, I would not be sharing this with you. God knows what he's doing. We have to birth the Christ.
Yes.
Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul says to the church in Galatia, do I have to travail again in pain, this is childbirth, until Christ is formed in you? I understand now that if I birth the Christ in me, that becomes my true identity.
Yes, sir.
And then I can birth the Christ in you.
Yes.
But I cannot birth the Christ in you till I birth the Christ in myself. That is your assignment from God, is to birth that Christ in yourself. This is your true identity. I could stand here and tell you for the next 24 hours, if you like, that Christ is in you, and you say, yes, 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 yes. But it's not made any difference to you.
No.
It hasn't changed one little thing. But you birthed the Christ, and I will guarantee you, you'll never be the same again. And there will be an added something that will begin to function in you and through you, which is actually the Christ himself. And then you become Jesus. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
You become the Jesus.
Yes,
why? Because Jesus was the body. Jesus never did a miracle. Jesus never healed anybody. In John chapter 14, verse 10, in the last part of the verse, what does he say? It's the Father in me that does the work.
Yeah.
I've seen all the miracles of Jesus in my life, but I didn't do one of them. I'm just the body. And before I do anything anymore, whether it's to take cancer off somebody, whether it's to release somebody from whatever problems they've got, I say, Father, what do you want me to do here?
Mm-hmm.
Why? I'm the body.
Yeah.
Your body does not belong to you.
Right.
Your body belongs to the Christ. You have no other reason to have that body except for the Christ to express himself to this world.
Amen.
He is spirit, therefore he does not have hands. If he wants to touch somebody, if he wants to lay hands on somebody, he cannot do it. But I say, Father, or Lord, these are your hands.
Yes.
These are your feet. This is your mouth.
Yes, sir.
And tonight I'm just trying to follow what Father is saying, you see, because this is his mouth. So he's telling you what he wants you to know.
Yes, sir.
And see, if I'm saying what Father's saying, then this is going to become your reality.
Yes, sir.
But if I'm just blowing wind, you know, then it's not going to work. It won't make any difference. Okay, so quickly, because there's a lot to cover tonight, and I want to make sure we get there. So the Christ in the garden was Adam. Well, now, let's go down to Second Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 11. Let's start here now. Chapter 11, verse 2. The Apostle Paul is speaking here now, and he says, and he's talking to the church. I'm talking to the church here tonight. You hearing? Listen to this. It says, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband. Not two. To one husband. That he may present, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Isn't that amazing? The Apostle Paul said, I'm jealous over you. I have a jealousy over you because I have espoused you to one husband. Who is that? That's Christ. That's Christ. That's not any other man on the face of this earth. That is Christ. You've been espoused to Christ. He's your husband. Yeah, before we go any further, I want you to look at Genesis 2, verse 21 and 22. You can just turn, I'm just going to refer to it tonight because you need to understand. You see, God, the Lord God, he came to that man and said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'm going to provide a helpmeet for you. And so Adam was put into a deep sleep. And while he's asleep, it says that there was a rib taken out of him. But whatever that rib was, it ended up, it was formed into a woman. So here's the woman now that God never created. And he's never created. This was not a creation.
Right.
This is a formation.
That's right.
Man.
Yes, sir.
Just as we have formed the world in which we live.
Yes, sir.
You understand? Because this world is whatever you believe it to be.
Yes,
there are some people today, they're scared to go outside the house. Why? Well, because, you know, there's people out there, crazy people, you know, drunk people. And if I go out in my car, there's going to be somebody out on the road there that's likely to wipe you out, you know. And all of this. So they're scared. It's a terrible world for them.
Yeah.
For me, I look out a beautiful day.
Yeah.
This is paradise. What's the difference? The difference is how I see the world and how they see the world. You hear this? You create your own world, I'm telling you. This is the truth. We all do. We create our own world. It's either God's world or it's not. And if you believe in good and evil, then you don't have God's world. That's somebody else's world. There's no good and evil in God's world. What you think is evil is only because of your thinking. If you could understand by the Spirit, you'll find that there's no evil on this earth at all. Everything is working according to God's plan. For all things, I said all things, are working together into good. Where's the evil? It's gone. It's good. I haven't got time to go into that tonight, but that's another mystery. But I'm telling you, it need not be a mystery for us because we understand spirit. So now, we are seeing here then that God has espoused us to one husband. But the woman was taken out of the man. And for more than 10 years, I have been preaching everywhere I go around the world and telling people it's not literal. The woman was never taken out of the man. It's an impossibility. For two reasons. Number one, you cannot divide spirit. It's impossible. Israel kept saying, our God is one Lord.
Amen.
You cannot divide spirit.
Right.
Secondly, spirit has no gender.
Right.
There's no such thing as a male spirit, nor is there a female spirit in the Bible.
Amen.
There's only spirit, male and female, functioning together as one.
Right.
That's all there is. And so here we are tonight. Now, we're beginning to see a picture here that the Christ of God has been installed in us. He is the seed of God. God says, now I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Well, now the Apostle Paul comes along and says, now, I have, I have espoused you to one husband. Only one husband. Yeah, only one. But Lord, you know, we got married. You know, most of us here probably have been married, and we've got our wife or we've got our husband or whatever. But you've espoused us to one husband. Yes, he said, that's all. There's only one husband for every one of you.
Yeah.
Does that mean your marriage was not of God? I don't think so. I don't think that would be a true statement to say it's not of God. No, sir. I think that marriage has been a great testing ground for us.
Yes.
And a learning of love, compassion, and forgiveness, and all of those other attributes of God. I know it has been for me and for my wife. Probably she's done more of the having to forgive and all that with me than I have with her. But you see, we are just working together in marriage. But the Bible says, for this cause, for what cause, what reason do we have that a man would leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two would become one flesh? And what does that mean? You're still two people. You are still two people. You are not one people. You are two people. That's the best you can get out of your marriage. You cannot go beyond that in your natural marriage. But I want to tell you, now we're going to turn to Romans